Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now we're turning to the Word of God and in Mark chapter number 4, please. Mark 4, and we want to read just a verse or two there for the sake of time, and into chapter 5. And so we'll read from verse 37. Mark 4, 37. We're looking to God to work. And if you're not saved, that you might really be blessed with His great salvation. So verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? Chapter 5. And they came over into the sea, other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains, because he had been off bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? And then down, for the sake of time now, we'll read from verse 14. And they that fed the swine, these swine that went down into the sea and were choked, told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was it was done. And they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And then down the chapter, verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their course. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now I would like, just by God's help tonight, in a few moments, to give a word of testimony as well regarding my salvation, my first visit here. So apologies if you've heard it before, but at the same time, this is what we intend to do. As we read through the gospel records and think about this, there are many such people who come to the Lord Jesus and who have had a radical, immediate change in their lives through faith. When we think of a woman that came in chapter 4, she discovered that the Lord Jesus was really the Messiah. All the barriers that she seemed to put up, all the obstacles, whether they were religious or moral or whatever, they seemed to be just shredded and taken away. And she discovered that he really was the Christ. And she brought him to other people to investigate this matter. And the people of that city, they said, in chapter 4, they said, he's the saviour of the world. Now that's good tonight, because all the individuals that we're thinking about, all part of the same world that we form part of. And the Bible tells us that God so loved the world, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Every individual is loved of God. And every individual God knows, God offers this salvation freely to you and to everyone in the world. And we know this, that we need a Saviour. And to those people that were changed, they came to know him as a personal Saviour. It's a great thing to have our sins forgiven and to know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. A blind man comes to the Lord Jesus in John 9. And of course, what happens there is that a man born blind immediately sees. And the Lord Jesus, of course, takes him out of darkness, brings him into light. He's the light of the world. He's not just the Saviour of the world. He's the light of the world. And you can come to know him in that way as well. You'll be emancipated. You'll be delivered. And you'll know something of a personal God in your experience. God as your Father. God as your Saviour. You know, I think about this experience that I can really identify with when we think about this man in chapter 5 of the Gospel of Mark. It says there, go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Chapter 4 sets the scene for us because the Lord Jesus is reaching the shores of this man's home and he has to go through with the disciples a great storm. And as he sets out on the ship, the waves, there's a great storm and the waves beat into the ship and they're in jeopardy. This is no false jeopardy. I'm sure that as you looked round about the men that were there, there were panic-stricken faces. I think if I was maybe Thomas, he wasn't a fisherman, I think I'd be looking over at Peter and John and maybe Andrew, and I would be a bit concerned, and the last thing anybody would want to hear from was Thomas. But you know, the waves were beating up and they were about to sink and they were in a storm. But the Lord is at complete rest. He's resting. He's completely trusting God in the way through. But you know, something remarkable is about to be said. They say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now you may be saying tonight, does God care about my circumstances? Does God care about me? Maybe you think yourself insignificant. Maybe you think that God doesn't really know you. And the Bible says he knows the hair of our heads. He knows all about us. Everything is known to God. Carest thou not that we perish? I tell you, he did care. It says the Bible, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's how much he cared. He cared enough to come. And there's a great lesson here that they learn. They learn that he is the master of every circumstance, no matter what circumstance you face. And chiefly your great problem, your problem of your sin, the Lord Jesus is the master of all circumstances. He's in complete control. And it says here that he arises and he rebukes the wind and he says to the sea, peace. And of course, everything is immediately changed when Christ speaks the word. It is off, it's altered. And we'll discover that he's power over all the creation. He's the great creator. And he has power over, as we chat in chapter 5, it's been well documented, he's power over demons and death and disease. All of these things are in his hand and in his control. The Lord Jesus has power. Nothing takes him by surprise. Carest thou not that we perish? I think he proved that when we come to the cross. We see him there dying upon the cross. The Bible describes it in this way, just like a storm. All thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. You know, there was hours of darkness at the cross. And the Lord Jesus experienced abandonment. It took an eternal person to bear away an eternity of woe. To bear away our sin. Who his own self, says Peter, bear our sins in his own... It's so personal that... Who his own self bear away our sins in his own body on the tree? Says Isaiah, a man shall be a hiding place from the wind and as a covert from the tempest. And so we can shelter in the storm Because the divine judgment has already taken place, fallen on the head of Christ. And we can, if we believe in him, we'll never need to face the judgment of God. It says the Bible that he's put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so you see the Lord is a master of every circumstance. And at the cross he paid the great price. You know, it was a costly thing for him to do. Says the Lord Jesus on the cross at the end of the experience, he says, it's finished. And the price has been paid, the debt has been cancelled as far as we are concerned, if we're believing in him. And then he rose again from amongst the dead. And now he lives in the power of an endless life. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And now the question he asked his disciples, they say, do you care about us? And he says, where's your faith? How is it you don't have any faith? You know, Peter, one day, in a different incident recorded in Matthew chapter 14, he gets out of the ship. And in the waves, he starts to walk there towards the Lord Jesus. And eventually, he's sinking down. Where's his faith? He's not looking at Christ. And then he says these lovely three words, Lord, save me. Now you could go home tonight, or even now. And in your heart, you could be like Peter. You could just say, Lord, save me. And between the Lord and you, and yourself, there'll be an immediate transaction when the Lord saves you. It's a real prayer of heart that has to be done. Nothing that you can recite, wrote, but something in the heart that will take place when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Says the Bible, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now I'm thinking about this man in Mark 5 and the transforming power of the Lord Jesus. Immediately when he met him, the circumstances, it was just like a storm, a tempest that he was in, wasn't it? When we think about the man's life, he's no normality about it at all. He was living amongst the tombs. No stability in his life. Socially, he was an outcast living where the dead lived. Emotionally, you can see him racked and ruined. He's crying and cutting himself constantly. And spiritually, he's demon-possessed. You know, man's efforts had failed to help him. They tried to bind him. They tried to restrain him, they tried to reason with him, and he'd been in that same circumstance for a long time, and things hadn't changed for him. But now with one meeting, with the Saviour, and one event that took place in his life, just in this very moment, he's given a purpose, go home and tell. Great things the Lord had done for him, all men did marvel. What does it say in verse 15? He's sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now I want to just think about that. How did I come to know the Lord Jesus? I need to be ready quick, and I'm sorry the time it seems to have ran away. But with no background, didn't have a background, nobody in my family was a Christian, no believers around me, no Bible in my house. Well, you know, I grew up in Glasgow, and we lived in a little tenement building. Well, I suppose there was tenement round about us, and there were more pubs in that street than there were grocers. There were about 8 pubs. And one of the evening entertainments was that to watch the pubs spill out as the people came out of them. Religion was off topic in my home. Father was a nominal Protestant who supported Glasgow Rangers, and my mum was a sort of lapsed Catholic. Typical west of Scotland, nothing so special about that. But you know, at the age of 7 we moved to Cumbernauld. And at 14 I was invited to go with a friend to the Gospel Hall. I'd never been there before. And this friend wasn't a Christian, but he asked me to go. And I was interested enough to go. And as we got there, we heard a little about the gospel message. Now, over a period of a number of Fridays, we went along there. And at one point, I was only 14, but I said to myself, you know, I'm really interested in this gospel and this Saviour. And I want to be a Christian. And I went home And it was the last of a series of meetings they were having. And I thought, well, what would my parents think? And I didn't think they'd mind too much. But at the same time, I was conscious of what they might think. And anyway, what happened was we didn't go back for some time, and the whole thing evaporated in my mind. Didn't think about it too much. Then at 17, you know, one of my friends had gone to America, Nick Sorey, and he thought he was a Christian because he lived in a so-called Christian country. But I was able to tell Mrs. Nick, you know, that's not what the Bible says about this whole matter. That you can't be a Christian. You're not born into the country that makes you a Christian. You need to be, as it were, born again. I don't know if I had that language, but I knew what the Bible was trying to say, that we were sinners and we needed Christ. And so do you tonight, if you don't have him. And Nick went away to America. Meantime, I made new friends, but into heavy rock, metal music, that kind of thing. I can't even see it now, I don't even know what you call it, heavy metal, that's it. And I had long hair, inevitably. And I liked all that type of stuff and started with my friends taking drugs. And so we were into that kind of thing. Again, we went to the Gospel Hall. There was something on. And we went with our friends to have a good laugh. And there was a girl, Linda knows about this, there was a girl in my chemistry class at that time that I quite liked too. So we went along to the Gospel Hall. And we wanted to have a good laugh at the expense of these very strange Christians. Because they believed the Bible, it was just the opium of the people. And they were so deluded, how foolish they were. You know, at 17 I heard this man, Dunkey Donaldson, he had quite a reputation where he came up, and I think some of the people here have heard about him. Dunkey Donaldson, they called him Drunken Duncan. He was a man of, I would say he was a man known to the police, you know. He was a man of ill repute, he's a man of reputation. People feared him, they didn't maybe respect him, but they certainly feared him. It was a wild man. The police would come to arrest him and Dunkey would get into a fight with him, and they knew it was coming, so they just came mob-handed, and then they would say casually, right, Dunkey, it's time to go. Then the fight would start, so they knew what to expect. Well, this man, Dunkey Donaldson, testified that he became a Christian. You know, one of the things was that he said he'd gone home to his wife, who was there. Normally she would expect him coming in drunk, as usual, as he did every night, from the pub. And his little dog, it never recognised him either. And his dog bit him on the leg. Because normally what Dunkey does, he give it a good kick when he came in. And even his dog didn't recognise him. He changed so much. You know, when I was 70, I heard that. Made me think. But then I went off to university, to Dundee. And there I met other friends. And we became punk rockers. Green hair now. My hair seemed to go strange colours all the time, and I helped it along. Dyed our hair different colours and took drugs again. We dropped out of university eventually. I remember one day there was a text outside of a wayside pulpit. I don't know what the verse was in scripture. And if I could go back and find the place again, I'd gladly compensate them. But I went out there and I saw this verse and I tore it down. I was against what it was saying. I was against the Bible. Then I went, eventually, as I say, I left everything, went back to Cumbernauld and got my own flat, and we took drugs every day. My friends used to come in, drugs every day now, different types of drugs every day. Eventually I had to be hospitalised, so maybe 3 weeks before I was 19. Because I was taking these drugs all the time, eventually my mind sort of went. And 3 weeks before I was 19, I was hospitalised. More in than out, really, over a period of 2 years. 3 weeks before I was 19 to 3 weeks after I was 21, hospitalised. And I was in a locked ward for a lot of that time, which was really a blessing in Hartwood. In many ways it was a blessing, because I was able to speak to people, and it was a bit more... It was a bit quieter in some ways. One of my friends, I told you about him, Nick Sorey. I saw him one day. I got out for a weekend pass, and there was Nick Sorey. This was the boy I said he'd gone to America. His two cousins, his cousin and her husband, I should say, they'd both become Christians. And Nick had become a Christian as well. He believed in the Lord Jesus, is what I'm saying. He trusted him in America. He discovered this idea of being brought up in a Christian home or a Christian country and all of that was absolute nonsense, that he needed a personal experience with God, and he had it. And guess what? He went to the Gospel Hall. And as I stood outside my gate one day, there was Nick Sorey, and I said, "Nick, I need your help." And he invited me to come to the gospel meeting, and I was free to go. And he got me a Bible. I think he was quite astounded that someone with me would go along. But then he got me a Bible, and I started to read it. And I went to the gospel meeting, and I got saved at the back of a gospel hall. No wonder, because I'd been there so often, eh? I got saved at the back. I asked the Lord to save me. Trusted in him. You know, it was obvious that he's such a great saviour. What won me the most was to think about Calvary and to think about the cross, to think about myself. I could never see myself before as a sinner, but it was obvious now that I was a sinner. All the things that I'd done, I couldn't escape the fact of it. And I looked at what Christ had done on the cross, and I saw the overwhelming love of Christ for me, that he died for a sinner like me. How could he? He never deserved to die. I deserved the death that he died. And yet he interposed. Yet he stood in my place. How wonderful. Christ died for the ungodly. Is that how you feel tonight? That you're just a wretch, but Christ died for you. And he thinks you're so worthy that he would come to rescue sinners such as me and such as you. And so, about 3 weeks later, I got out. You know, I should say maybe this man in the hospital, he used to read the Beano. He actually couldn't read. I read the Beano to him. It wasn't too much of a challenge for me, I've got to say, but I managed it. And I was able to read this to him. And 3 weeks later, the man was dead, I've got to tell you. But I told him how I'd become a Christian. And I said to him, "You know, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus." Well, he said, "Well, you know, I'm a Christian too because I was in the choir." I said, "No, that'll not do. Church attendance, that, you know, being in the choir and thinking about God or whatever your connection might be in a religious sense, that'll not, it's a personal link with God." And I was so glad that I was able to tell him that before he died. And I was taken to his funeral by the nurses. And I wanted to tell all his family. You know, before he died, I spoke to him. I said to him, "Do you believe that?" He says, "Well, I do." Now, I don't know if he really did believe it. But, you know, maybe it would have given him hope. And it certainly does give hope. You see, at the end of this man's experience here, he's sitting at the feet of the Saviour, just like me. And he's sitting in a sense of serenity and peace, isn't it? Sitting. There's no tranquility in his life. There was no peace before. And he's clothed. All his shame is covered over, as it were. There's garments, you see, of salvation, says the Bible, in the words of the Lord Jesus in the parable about the good Samaritan, the prodigal son. It says, "Bring forth the best robe." He's going to clothe us with something. He's going to put a ring on our finger. He makes us something for himself as well. This is a wonderful thing. All the deficit is in our sight, but God and his son, the Lord Jesus, they don't just make up the deficit. They give us so much in our salvation. And we are sitting in serenity, and our shame is all covered. And he's sober-minded. Now there's a reality. Now what really matters, he can think about. His mind can be filled with truth. His life can be given purpose. You know, 3 weeks after I told you, 3 weeks after I was 21, I got out of hospital. There was no further checkups. There was no, usually we'd go back through all the system. I'd done it a few times into other hospitals. They never asked me to see me again. And it's not because they didn't bother, it's just because they could see it was just, there was no need. Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. You know, it's a marvellous thing. But, you know, when we come to the close of this little incident, you see, the man wanted to be with Christ, and the Lord Jesus sent him out, didn't he? He says, go home and tell. You know, that's not about me. I just want to go home and tell what great things the Lord has done for me. And so that you can know them too. Taste and see, for the Lord is good. You want to experience it for yourself. But you know, these people here, sadly, in this city, not like the city of the Samaritans, they received him, but not so here. They didn't say, here, he's the saviour of the world. They didn't enjoy him in that way. They said, they prayed him to depart out of their coasts. What a reaction. You know, it's a costly thing. It cost them commercially, didn't it? You think about the herd of swine. Maybe that made them think they were far happier with somebody who was demon-possessed in their midst than having someone who was a Christian. And far happier with Christ on the outside than Christ on the inside. Now, what's your attitude towards him? Are you going to shun him? Are you going to receive him? To as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority, to become the children of God. Will you receive the Lord Jesus today? Will you be able to go home and tell others about the great things that he's done for you? May God bless his word, shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.